You're listening to Critical Mass Radio. Now, it's our turn. The world is a dangerous place. Not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. It's time to take action. It's time for the Critical Mass Show.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Critical mass has been reached. Now we must come together. We are the resistance. Join us. Criticalmassradio.co.uk. Now it's our turn.
Comes out of these gates. We've got a better chance of survival if we work together. Do you understand? We stay together, we survive.
The Critical Mass Show with the New Romantic, Dandy Highwayman, Anarchist, Paul Giovanni. Monday 7 till 9 on Critical Mass Radio. Now, it's our turn.
Critical Mass Radio! Yeah!
Good evening, guys. This is the Critical Mass Show with myself, Paul Giovanni, on criticalmassradio.co.uk, or as Kate does in her amazing accent, .co.uk. Love that. Mike's not doing that. Kicking off the week, guys. Yes, it's the 3rd. It's the 10th of the 3rd, 2014. Just before we start, I've got a new setup, new headphones, and I've just in the last 20 minutes realised that the setup that I've got, I hadn't actually installed properly. So you guys in the chat box, direct, and everybody listening here, if somebody can tell me if they can hear me properly, because Bob and I have got the same microphone, and it's a condenser microphone, and what we're finding is you can't move your mouth away from the mic, so you're basically erect for 2 hours during your show, so you get proper noise coming through, and the sound, and it's a level. So I'm waiting for you guys just to give me a nod and tell me if you can hear me, because I'm not getting anything just yet in the chat box. So I'm waiting. Come on, guys. Voice is loud and clear. Better than normal, Rob says. Fantastic. My voice is better than normal. Wow. Cheers, Bob. The other thing is as well, if it's a bit sort of cracker, I've just taken off because I was just trying to fix everything. I've taken off the muffler off the mic, so if it is a bit crackly, it's because I haven't got a muff to my mouth tonight. Right. So that's erect and muff in the first 10 minutes of the show. Fantastic. This is how you start a show. Love it. So tonight is a very, very important show because we've got Ollie Damgaard on. And Ollie is a chap that sort of came on last year and blew us all away with his knowledge, but lack of fear-mongering. And that's why people ask, you've got to get this chap on again, because basically he just put his research, but stressed at every point, look, this is just research. He doesn't go around saying, the end is nigh, this is this, if we don't do that, we're all doomed. It's the opposite, in fact, and that's one of the reasons why we agreed to have this chap on again, which is appreciated, because we don't do fear porn here, do we? You know, we might have to get the facts out, but we don't labour on points, and that's what I love about that. So Ollie's coming on in about 10 minutes. I'm just getting all these messages now, as usual. So Ollie's from lightonconspiracies.com, and his book, The Coup d'Etat, in slow motion. So basically, he's going to be talking about that, Ollie, and we'll be mentioning his website and his work, his new book, amongst other things that will go on, because he has been doing an awful lot of work. I thought I was up to date, but I'm obviously not, because there's a lot more that he's been doing than I even know. So, which is fascinating. So what we're going to do, I'm going to play another song as usual. If you'd like to contact me first, please do so at the Critical Mass Show at criticalmassradio.co.uk. My Skype is FutureStar23. And I'm going to play a song now for, my lady, Imogen, who I've just spent a lovely weekend with and I'm crazy about. And I'm going to play this song, and I said it on air, and happy birthday to you, Imogen. So happy birthday, and play this, and I'm straight back after that with Ollie.
Every day and every
Right, guys, we're back with the Critical Mass Show. Thank you. It's all sounding fantastic. What we're going to do now, as usual, when we get the guest on, there will be a slight cut-off as we are attaching the call because I'm running the stream. Ninja says, stop explaining things, Paul, and get on with it. Go for it. That's what how Ninja speaks. She tells it how it is, you know, black and white, do it. And I think you're right. So, without further ado, I'm looking down the list, and here we go. We're just finding Ollie. Do you know what? I get excited waiting to speak to this guy because he's one of the, he's a whole stream within respect that he doesn't struggle for things to say. He's got so much information and it's all relevant and he just goes for it and he's just fine. I could just listen to him and that's what we're going to do. So guys, if it goes off, I will reattach and add in Ollie now. Any second. Here we go. Ollie's coming through. Hello, Ollie.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Fantastic. That is great. We can hear you loud and clear coming through perfectly. It's been about 6-7 months, I think, now, my mate, since we've last spoken.
Might be.
And I know that you've been... well, as if you, I know you're working frantically all the time, but there's a lot more information now you're up against.
That is for sure. I've been on shows, I think, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a week for the last year or so. So it's been really intense.
Brilliant. Right. One of the first, I just played Bob Marley there. On the last show we spoke, because this one of the big points, because I won't go to the work that you've been doing, but it's just a point I want to cover, please, if you don't mind.
Of course.
The point is, we were talking and you said... you said that, if you just want to go through it again briefly, the reason for Bob Marley's actual death, because we all said, and I thought, it was a heavy smoker, etc., but what your research is completely different, and it's actually so many more people now are saying the same off the back of what you put forward.
Well, I'm happy to hear that more and more people are waking up what seems to happen. I think what you were mentioning is that the thing was that he was a very, very strong individual, extremely strong, and he was standing up for the liberty of the human race and people's rights to be free and so on. He was totally against war and the whole military-industrial complex, and I believe that is why he was attacked the way he was. And he was just about to take part, or he took part in a very, very important concert on Jamaica in 1976. The island, Jamaica, had been really under a lot of attack since the year before, since 1975, where the CIA with Henry Kissinger, also using part of the assassination team, Operation 40, had attacked and inflicted a lot of pain into... the Jamaican society. There was a lot of guns being pumped, automatic guns were being smuggled in to create mayhem. There was arsons, there was sabotage, there was all type of things. And it came to a point where there were actually martial law on Jamaica. And Bob Marley agreed to be part of a concert where his intention was to unite and like a peace concert. Just a few days, this became a very big political thing because after he had announced that he would take part in this concert, one of the major politicians or the guy who was in charge at that time, he said he called out for an election just following a few days after this concert. So suddenly it was like Bob Marley was supporting him and the population of Jamaica was so in tune with Bob that whoever he would support, they would vote for, more or less. So he was very upset about that, but he still insisted on that it was more important that he did this concert anyway. So just a few days before the concert, they were rehearsing in his home. He and his wife and his manager was in the kitchen just taking a smoke and relaxing when a hit team attacked the house and the house was just riddled with bullets. And one guy stuck a gun into the kitchen and just fired all over the place. And his wife was hit in the head, in the back of the head. She had one of their child in her arms. The manager was hit 4 times, I think, in the stomach and legs. And Bob had a bullet that just it touched his chest, so he had sort of like a burn wound from it. And then the bullet lodged in his arm. And anyway, it was a miracle that he wasn't murdered there, because all odds he should have been dead, but he survived. Anyway, he insisted that he was to continue and go forth with his concert, and he did it, even though people around him said, "My God, they're going to kill you! They're going to kill you!" But he still stood up, did the concert with a bandage on his arm, and all of this. Even he got the two different major politicians on the island. He made them come up on stage, shake hands, and sort of unite. So it was incredible what he did. But what he also showed was the immense power that he had, that he would not back down, that he was there to stay, and that he was there for the people, for the unifying of human mankind, which is what he said once. He said, "I'm a very simple man with a simple wish. The only thing I want is to unite mankind." Mm-hmm. And then about 7 days after this concert, I mean, he was still surrounded with his bodyguards and so on. He was approached by a documentary maker. This man's name was Carl Colby, and he was there to see if Bob Marley would be interested in letting him make a film about him. But as a sign of, I don't know what you want to say, he had a gift with him. And this gift was a pair of boots, a pair of cowboy boots. And there was a prize-winning photographer from L.A. that day who was present when they met. And he said that when Bob, he was really excited for these boots because he was jeans, boots, that type of guy. He really loved that. And when he pulled on one of the boots, he just shouted out pain. And when he pulled off the boot again, they found that there was a little piece of like copper wire inside the boot. And that copper wire had punctured his big toe. This toe is later where he developed the cancer that finally killed him some years later. And there's been a lot of speculation about why he didn't, if it was poisoned. I just want to say also that Carl Colby is not just anyone. He's actually the son of the former chief of the director of the CIA, Bill Colby. So it's even though he's a documentary maker, he's got incredible connections with these powers. He was also, I just also want to point out that he was also one of the witnesses at the O.J. Simpson case, because he was the neighbor of O.J. Simpson's wife that got killed. So coincidence, I don't know. I just want to point it out. Anyway, so I think there's been a lot of discussion about how he could last so long with a cancer like that, because normally if somebody is inflicted cancer by injection or pills or radiation or so on, they die very quickly. I must say that when you look at it, Bob Marley was extremely healthy. He was extremely fit. He was very much into exercising, footballing, all of these things. And he was smoking a lot of marijuana. And if you look at this plant, it's a very, very, it's an incredible plant, I must say. When you look at the adversity that it has, it's got incredible potential in so many different areas. Anything from building to, you can make parts to a car, you can make clothes, you can make all of this. And that is also, I would say, that why this plant was prohibited, because it was prohibited by the Rockefeller concert within the medical sphere, where they saw this plant as a major threat to many of the different industrial areas where they were involved or are involved. And so I believe that is why it was banned, not because it was for health in any way. I mean, compared to cigarettes, it's nothing. Compared to alcohol in. And one of the things this plant has as well, it's a very, very strong incredible plant. And I think this is one of the reasons why he lasted so long as he did, because he only died, this thing happened in 76, and he died March, I think it was 1981. So also he was approached afterwards and by a doctor that has a, according to, if the sources I've been able to find out, this doctor has a background with the extreme Nazis during Second World War, together with in Auschwitz with one of the doctors that was later, I think Mengele, it said that he worked together with him. So it's very strange that a person that with that extreme background takes care of a Rastafari dope smoking guy. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And also Bob Marley's mother was very upset about how, according to her, he was being, you know, very, very, almost violently and almost with no compassion, no nothing. He was just injected, like stabbed in the stomach and in great pain all the time. He was kept almost starving, and so it was awful. It was an awful way to die. And this guy, he was only 30 when he died. But at that time, he had already become what they feared, the unifying icon almost for peace and unity for mankind in the whole African continent. He had
Sorry to cut you off there in mid-flow, but I was just going, that was the question that I wanted to ask there. Was Bob Marley obviously aware of the impact he was having, but was that a mission, or was he just that? A peace-love guy with the music, he had the right idea of what we're trying to and you're trying to promote, or had he realised that he was making so many waves and he was going, it became a mission for him, or is he just doing his thing?
It was a mission, I would say, and he knew what he was up against. When he had arranged a concert in Zimbabwe, just after that's former what is former Rhodesia. And when that was became independent, there was a big, big party, and he paid himself to get all the equipment shipped over to that country, and he made this incredible concert there. And while he was doing that, I think, I can't remember how many thousands of people there were there at the time, but outside the gates and the fences, there was so many more thousands of people. And what happened was that they broke down the fences and just stormed into the area to be part of the whole concert, and that created like a riot. So the police started firing off tear gas and all of these things, and the rest of the people on stage, they left, you know, they got fearful and thought that there was going to be shooting and everything. Bob Marley stayed, he was alone up there, you know, with his eyes running with tear gas. He was still standing up there playing all on his own. And I think, I mean, what he stated there was he was on a mission. You know, this was his quest. And he was not going to back down. He was willing to give his life, and he was not going to back down. And he continued until he couldn't hardly stand up anymore. So a very, very strong individual.
Amazing, amazing. Ollie, your website, and we're going to be talking more about this and other projects that you've got going, www.lightonconspiracies.com, and your book, The Coup d'Etat, in slow motion. You've mentioned to a little passage that you sent to myself. I want to go from one singer, please, because all this is on your website. So guys, I need you to get over to there. I'm going to talk about Ollie's site later. You mentioned John Lennon, Ollie, another chap that I was never too sure about, really. I just thought he was just, well, rather, you know, just another one of these guys saying the right thing, singing the right songs, Let There Be Love, come together, you know. But there is more and more evidence, again, from that he was very aware of everything around him and the actual circumstances on the planet that are putting us where we are, more than even a lot of people give him credit for. And you go along with that, don't you, Ollie?
I know that he, like a lot of people who have been standing up for the beautiful ethics in life, you know, love, compassion, peace, understanding, brotherhood, you know, these type of things, that is totally against the global elite's agenda, which is war, death and destruction, you know, pedophile trafficking, oil, weapons, all of these, I would say, awful things. And many of these people, like Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, JFK, Robert Kennedy, John Lennon, Bob Marley, these Lady Diana as well, when somebody like that people really listen to, when it's not just like somebody sitting in a pub having a drink talking about stuff, but when it's a person like Diana or John Lennon or something, when they say, make peace, stop war, these type of things against the agenda of the elite, that's when they become a major problem. And that is also why many of them tragically have been taken out, I would suggest. And like I say, John Lennon, he was just not anyone. I mean, if you remember, the Beatles came right after the JFK assassination. It was just a few months afterwards that they made a great breakthrough. And from 63 up until 69, the whole Western world was turned upside down, from where people were shocked from their haircut till it was flower power and the whole hippie movement. And all of that, one of the major ingredients were the Beatles. And he was a guy that stood up for peace. He did all of many different statesmen and love and no sorry songs was very much you know, protesting against war. And at the time when he was assassinated, he had been away for a few years. He had taken care of his son and so on, but he was just about to make a major comeback. He had recorded a new album together with Yoko, and they had planned a big peace tour in the States, and I think that would be going to be followed by a big peace tour in Europe as well. So I believe that was a major reason for why he was taken out at that point. And if you want to, I can go into detail about that assassination.
I would. you beat me to it. Please do.
Okay. Okay. I mean, the official story is that this man, Mark Chapman, who is the guy who is still in prison for having shot him, he was obsessed. I'm telling you the official story. He was obsessed about John Lennon. He wanted to be famous. He wanted to... If you watch the film Taxi Driver, that's the story that they put on this guy, that it was Judy Foster he was in love with. He wanted to impress on her and so on. And he was almost obsessed about John Lennon. So he had been standing outside the Dakota building in New York more or less all day waiting for him to come back. He had got a record or piece of paper signed, an autograph in the morning, and he had been there more or less all day waiting for him to come back. So when the limo came from the studio, Chapman was standing to the right, and Yoko Ono leaves the car first, started walking into the building. There's a big, like an open entrance into the building, sort of enter the proper doors, and Yoko Ono went first, and then John Lennon came like 5-6 meters. He passed Chapman, and then when he was right in the middle of this sort of big entrance, four or five shots were fired at least, and he went down, started crawling into the building. Yoko came out and they took him as fast as possible to hospital, but he was declared dead there, and that was the official story. Now, when you look at the evidence, which is what I always look at. I come to 1 = 2, or they might have a fancy white robe on or fancy title or have a big laboratory or whatever. If they come with a claim like that, I know that they're not following. So you look at the crime scene with an open mind, so close that guy that made the autopsy had problems seeing if there was more than one shot, because some of the shots were so close together, which is an indication that the shooter must have been very close to Lennon when they were fired. And all of the shots came straight from the left. So here comes the question, who was standing to the left? If the patsy was standing to the right, who was standing to the left? And this evening, there was a doorman by the name of Jose Perdomo. Now, Jose was a former CIA operative, and that he was just working there extra and so on. He's the guy who's said to have run over to Chapman, taken on him, shouted at him, you just shot Lennon, you just shot Lennon. And from then on, it's almost like Mark Chapman turned into like a zombie and was just standing waiting, absolutely not doing anything until the police came and picked him up. Which is very typical for when you come to MK Ultra, people that have been programmed not to do the assassination themselves, because they can't really be trusted to do that, because often they're not skilled killers, they're just they're mind controlled, and so often these people are used to take the fall for these things. You can also hear when they tell the story about the crime, it's almost like a loop, like a rehearsed story that just goes round and round. They say the same words, more or less identical every time they talk about the event. They can't remember before, they can't remember after, they can only remember the story. And anyway, so this doorman was standing to the left. And his name, like I said, was Jose Perdomo. This name appeared just within the first half hour and then disappeared. Then it took like 7 years, I think, before it was brought up again. But Jose Perdomo, for 10 years, he was one of the highest ranking officers in this group of highly skilled assassins we talked about before, I think, called Operation 40. So coincidence? I would suggest not. I mean, we got a super skilled assassin standing exactly where the shots were fired from, and a very, I wouldn't say brain dead, but weak-minded person to the right, wrong place, wrong position. Nothing makes sense. The shots came from the left. So, and this was 40. Paul, I can't remember if we have been talking about this group before on your show or not. Did we do that?
I'm not sure we did, actually.
Okay, so if it's okay, I would like to go into a little details, because it's this group that connects so, so many of these major assassinations. There was, in the late 1950s and early 1960s, President Dwight Eisenhower in the States, he had a major problem with people like Fidel Castro, and there were other people, presidents in other countries like Guatemala, the Dominican Republic, and so on. And what they wanted was like a team of highly used, super secret team, but that could be used in the States, but mostly abroad, on a that they could just be flown to different places and take care of whatever problem they had. So Eisenhower gave his vice president, Richard Nixon, the task of forming this group. And Nixon, what he did was he used some veterans from the CIA that had been part in 1954, taking out the president of Guatemala. They had been in Iran, 58, taking out Mossadegh and putting the Shah there. And now they use this group. And some of the top people from the CIA that was part of this was Ted Shackley. He was called the Blonde Ghost. Very, very central in super many assassinations globally. David Atlee Phillips. He was later given the title Director of Covert Operation for the Western Hemisphere. I mean, we're talking super high up in the CIA when it comes to these black operations. He was also a major part in the JFK assassination, as well as the controller of the Patsy of the JFK assassination, Lee Harvey Oswald. He was also of James Files, who was one of the people in Dealey Plaza shooting at JFK. He was the guy behind the picket fence. And he was also the controller of a man called Michael Vernon Townley, who was later a super assassin in many, many, many different assassinations all over the world, including this the one on the Swedish Prime Minister, 1986, some 23 years after the JFK one. Anyway, also they had E. Howard Hunt, that was later one of the Watergate burglars, and also super central in many, many, many assassinations, blowing up airplanes, you name it, these were the guys. And the people they recruited, most of them were recruited in Miami, where they had fled from Cuba when Fidel Castro took over. And these people were exiled Cubans, former military people, ex-policemen from the Air Force, and so on. Brutal people, very brutal people, skill killers, and very good for the cause. So they were recruited, and to start with, they were trained in all types of guerrilla warfare. They were with explosives, poisons, bazookas, you name it. Whatever it took to take out someone, they were trained in it. And they were also very big part of what was later the Bay of Pigs invasion, the failed one. So they got together, this group of assassins, and aim number one was to get rid of Fidel Castro. They were involved in a couple of attempts, but they failed. But then when they started having major problems with JFK, because he turned against the mob, the CIA, the military-industrial complex, the Federal Bank Reserve, he pissed off a lot of people in the midterm, in the early 1962 and 63. So when he was, the decision was taken to kill JFK, what they used was they just took this sort of cannon they had built from this Operation 40 and turned it from Fidel Castro and aimed it at JFK. And when you look in great detail on the assassination in Dallas, you will identify many, many of the members in the different teams of shooters coming from Operation 40 or being very closely associated with them. Now, one other guy, I can just mention a few of them just to show how these assassins have been used all the way up until today. They're quite old, the ones that still live, but they're still very active. It's absolutely incredible when you look at it. Mm-hmm. One of the persons that were in Dealey Plaza, his name was David Morales, or David Morales, extremely violent person who was in some years named the CIA's top assassin in Latin America. He was in Dealey Plaza. He was also present in the Ambassador Hotel, Robert Kennedy was shot. He was also the one that executed Che Guevara in Bolivia. Che Guevara was one of Fidel Castro's associates or partners.
Yeah.
And this group was given the order. There was one member, his name was Felix Rodriguez. He was given the order to track down Che Guevara and get him killed. So he did that, but the guy who actually killed him was David Morales. And this Felix Rodriguez is also super central. Many of these members in Operation 40 was also super central in the whole Iran-Contra scandal. They were deeply involved in the overtake of Salvador Allende, 1973. They were deeply involved in Operation Phoenix in Vietnam, where they killed thousands and thousands of people. They were deeply involved in Operation Condor, that was tracking down Salvador Allende supporters from Chile abroad. Part of that would they hunted them down, killed them, arranged accidents, suicides, whatever. And they were also part of blowing up Orlando Letier in Washington, D.C. at Embassy Row. He was a former politician from Argentina, no, Chile, and they blew him up with a car bomb. Now, these people in Operation 40, they are so central in so many of these assassinations, and it comes again and again and again. And this is also why, with a hit on Bob Marley, the guy who was at the island at that time was Luis Posada Carrillas, which was, once again, a top, top assassin, part of Operation 40. And terror acts all over the place. I also want to mention that the guy that was put in charge of funding this group, funneling the funds from oil tycoons, from company that had been thrown out from Cuba, like Standard Oil, United Fruit, Pepsi Cola, and so on, plus getting also money from the military industrial complex to fund this Operation 40, this team of assassins, was a man by the name of George Bush Sr. He was a young guy at that time, but he's the guy who is the paymaster for this group. And he has used this group. I think this is why it's been so active for all of these years, because George Bush Sr. is a super central person in so many of these terror acts and assassinations, including 9/11, the whole New World Order agenda. And it just continues and continues. And every single time I start digging into different aspects of these conspiracies, on so many occasions, I come up with the same names again and again and again and again. So I would say Operation 40, a group to really look into. And I have in my some of the last chapters in my book, Coup d'etat in slow motion, I show many of the links, many of the people that were involved in this group. There was also one of the groups that were, one of the men that was involved, he might have been one of the pilots in Dallas flying some of the assassins out. His name was Barry Seals. He was a member also of the Civil Air Patrol, where Lee Harvey Oswald and Dave Ferry and a few other, Walter Tobinski, a few other people that were later involved in the JFK assassination. He was a very skilled pilot, and he was used in many different areas by the CIA in Vietnam, and he was also super central in the Iran-Contra scandal, where he was and some other pilots were flying weapons from the States down to countries like Nicaragua, El Salvador, and so on, to fund and supply the Contras. The Contras was a group, an army created by the CIA to destabilize countries like Nicaragua and so on, and just totally slaughter the local population. Awful, awful. But they were sending weapons from... What they did was they stole the weapons from the National Guard in the States. They got rid of the serial numbers. I think this was under the supervision of Colin Powell. And then the weapons were sent down to these countries. And then the planes that were military planes, some of them medevac planes, you know, these medical planes, showing that they were supposed to fly wounded soldiers back, but they were actually loaded with drugs instead, tons of drugs. And these drugs were flown into the States, and in the beginning and for quite a while, one of the major places they landed, it was a small little airstrip outside of a town called Mena in Arkansas. And the guy who, one of the guys who were receiving personally receiving these drugs, were a man by the name of Bill Clinton. At that time, he was just the governor of Arkansas, but together with his partner, Dan Lasseter, these two people and George Bush Sr., the paymaster for Operation 40 and way up in the CIA by that time, also very closely a vice president, they were there personally receiving these drugs and then distributing them out into the States to the cribs in LA and so on to make bundle some money, and also with a strategy of destabilizing the American society, pump in guns, pump in drugs, get the whole criminal scene going, get the minorities to kill off each other, and also at the same time make major investments in private prisons so that they could fill the prisons with minorities and get taxpayers to pay millions and millions to take care of these so-called criminals. So, I mean, these people that are later pops up as presidents, they didn't come from just anywhere. They are, many of them are highly, highly criminal people that have, I would say, have dipped their hands in blood. Then most of them have a long row of murders behind them that they've ordered or taken care, taken part in, and that they've come to that position by showing the loyalty to the cause, and they've sort of been promoted by their deeds. So it's a very ugly thing to look into. But like I said, this group is very, very central. And I just want to say also that Barry Seals, the pilot I just mentioned, he was later assassinated when he was just about to give testimony against George Bush Sr. And he was assassinated in Baton Rouge in Louisiana. And that was just 1 week before the Swedish prime minister was taken out. And he was also involved in this international arms deals with illegal arms dealings going on. So it's a mess.
Ollie, would you say then, because the amount of time that's gone, and you mentioned people that have got close to sort of lifting the veil on so many different occasions, are these people actually, like so many cases in the mafia, they're just killing each other now because they're all in with the same corruption in different avenues, if you like, but it's so widespread in that these, you know, when it gets too much for some people, or if somebody wants to speak out, or if somebody's done a wrongdoing, that they're basically just killing each other off, as well as the people who are speaking out.
I mean, I don't envy these people, because I think they live in deep, deep shark waters, you know. They cannot trust each other. They're very paranoid, I would think. Mm-hmm. And because people, as soon if they don't follow the agenda, if they start getting big-headed, or they become afraid, or they become a risk when it comes to whistleblowing and so on, they will be taken out. And from time to time, this elite group, it looks like they want to statue examples to scare the shit out of the rest of the of the people in the so-called corridors of power. And I think that is one of the reasons why they took out JFK broad daylight in front of cameras, in front of people, you know, and also why Lee Harvey Oswald was killed openly in front of cameras, all of these things, is to make an impact, an emotional impact, saying we can get anyone at any time, anywhere, so you back off and stay in line and shut up. And that is also why following many of these conspiracies or big assassinations or so on, it's almost like there's a secondary conspiracy following, and that is a conspiracy of silence. There's this total silence that follows from the official sources. It's the patsy, it's the patsy, it's the patsy, or just silence. Mm-hmm. Do you know, with the assassination of Olof Palme, for instance, he was a world famous politician. But after that, after he was assassinated, it's the official story, the patsy, the patsy, the patsy. There are no statues, there are no museums, there's nothing that reminds people of him. He disappeared, you know. They do not want you to look into it. They don't want you to remember him. The only thing that you can find in Stockholm, I mean, I would say, the natural thing would be a massive museum, so people that came from all over the world could go somewhere and see the life work he did and all of these things, or parks that would name after him, or sculptures and these types. That would be the natural thing. There's nothing. There's a grave with his signature on it. That's it. And there's a little piece of bronze in the pavement exactly where he was killed, saying, "Here, Ola Palme was killed." That's it. Boom. So.
So, like you said, I like the expression you use, you know, that these sharky waters, if you like, they're swimming these people. There were so many people waking up because the corruption now has got to, or has gone past the level of, it's just so widespread and it's on so many levels and people just see it everywhere. Obviously, you know about all the talk of the paedophile rings in, you know, government quarters, so-called, and all these famous people, celebrities in England, you know, from the 70s, all being done on sex charges. It's just, again and again, are these people being brought up now as a distraction, do you feel, Ollie, to you? Because they're pulling out, they're pulling out all the stops now just to hide what they're doing, just to give us a distraction.
I don't think it's a distraction at all. I think it's falling apart around them because, just like you say, there's this incredible awakening going on that, I started on my quest, if you want to say so, in the early 1980s. So I've been down this road for a long time, and for many, many years, people did not want to hear it. They thought, they looked upon me as somebody with a tinfoil hat, you know, and just, please, can somebody shut this guy up? Now the situation is totally different. There's this incredible urge for knowledge, to understand what's going on, and people are starting to see, whoa. And I think this is why the elite are in panic mode now, pushing forward with all of these fake mass shootings and all of this to try and push their agenda forward before it's too late for them. I say we've already passed that tipping point a long time ago, and it's just a matter of time before the whole thing is exposed, because all of these things are connected, like with the royal family and all of these pedophile things. That's been going on for years and years and years on an international basis. Absolutely nothing new, but now it's cracking down. And that is why the Pope said, "Shit, I'm out of here. This is getting too close." The Queen Beatrix, when she felt that the smell of the coffee, this is time to leave the ship. So she stepped down. This is happening, you know. They're leaving the ship because it's going down. And I think it's wonderful. And now, just a week ago, my beautiful friend, the international lawyer Alfred Labremont-Verbray, is part of not only one, he was part of the war tribune in Kuala Lumpur, where they tried George Bush Jr., Boy George, as I call him, Dick Cheney, Tony Blair, and other people for crimes against humanity. And they were sentenced. They were subpoenaed, but they never appeared in court. But they were sentenced for these things, and that sentence was given to the court in Hague, where it is active. You know, so if whatever country that accepts that sentence, if they arrive to that country, they will be arrested. And now they've just subpoenaed the Queen Elizabeth of Windsor II, and other people, including the former Pope, being called to a court in Brussels. It starts the end of this month, and what they're accused of is child genocide because of all this child trafficking that has been going on for such a long time, where the Queen and Prince Philip and other people have been very central. So this is things that have been known about for decades. I mean, I've known about it since the 80s, but it's just been so suppressed, and now it's just starting to fall apart. And this is also, I think, why they try to shut people up. They try to shut up bankers. I don't know if you know, there's been a whole long series of so-called suicide of bankers. There's a whole long row of suicides when it comes to scientists. There's a whole, you know, they're just trying to shut people up because they're getting totally freaked out.
See, the thing is with that, Ollie, there do seem to be increased reports on all areas of people jumping the ship, the rats, you know, are leaving. It's just that the system still seems to be functioning well, without these people, if you know what I mean. People talked about, you mentioned the Pope earlier, and now even quarters in the Vatican have been done on sex charges, apparently, in the last week. But still, everything keeps going. Is it just a mass cover-up still because it's not being reported? Or, I mean, I just thought I'd be seeing a few more sort of certain signs that this had fallen down and that had fallen down, if you like.
I don't know how long it will take until it really cracks, but I think it's in the very near future. I think these sentences, the Kuala Lumpur War Tribune and against the Queen and the Pope, they're very, very important symbolic sentences, because they are showing these courts are the people's courts. You know, it's not corrupt courts, it's the people's courts. And they are putting these people to stand trial for what they've done. And I think it's beautiful that these things are happening now, finally. And, you know, when you look at, I don't know, on YouTube, if you go look there, how to create a movement, there's this beautiful video that shows how a natural movement is created. Like there's this somebody who's filmed, I think it's at a rock concert. There's a lot of people sitting in the grass just enjoying themselves. And suddenly one guy stands up, he throws off his shirt and he just starts dancing really crazy, you know. And people are like, oh, look at that weirdo. I mean, my God, he's totally out of it. But he's just standing there really happy, dancing away. It looks awful. You know, he has no feeling, no rhythm, no nothing. But he just keeps on, you know, and is just so happy doing it. And people are pointing fingers, saying, my God, look, look, look. Then after a minute or so, a second guy comes up, starts dancing next to him, you know, just as crazy. And people are like, oh, another two. Then a third guy comes. Then a fourth, a fifth, a sixth. And it just starts speeding up. And like in the end, and it's just a matter of a few minutes in total, all the people standing, pointing fingers, laughing at them, suddenly they're the ones left out because there's so many people dancing. So they feel, oh my God. So suddenly everybody's dancing. The whole place is rocking. And it all started with one crazy guy that did the right thing, symbolically. And when you look at it, I've been told by people who understand this phenomenon more better than I do, they say it's not the first guy that is the most important. It's not the second guy. It's the third, fourth, and fifth. These are the ones that creates the movement. And I think we are way, way down. It's not the first, the second, the third. I mean, maybe somebody like me would be fourth, fifth, sixth, 15th, I don't know. But because we've been doing this for such a long time. But now there's this, I mean, it's a daily, they're popping up everywhere. And the whole thing is just moving. It can't be stopped now, I think. And it's beautiful. I think it's absolutely beautiful. So now the question is how to move forward. And I would strongly suggest that violence, revenge, hate, not the right way to go. Revolutions, not the right way to go. Listen to the word revolution, that it repeats the old pattern. And study history, you will see that every single revolution has turned out worse than the people that they knocked off the power. So that's not the way. The way to go is evolution. Evolution. And this is a spiritual awakening where people are just lifting their energy, you know, and where the way forward, in if I can be part of it, it's compassion, forgiveness, love, embracement, brotherhood, these type of things. That's the way to move forward. And just like the Truth and Reconciliation Committee in South Africa, where they were facing a situation where they had a former power elite in the country that had been awful, awful. They had tortured, slaughtered, blown up people, whatever. The other side, where you had all the victims, but also with a violent background, how to heal this whole thing. And that's where they found a formula where if people came forward former torturers, former killers, all of these things, if they came forward and went totally clean, revealed everything that had gone on with total transparency, total courage to really tell the truth, most of them were pardoned. And nowadays, I mean, it's not a perfect situation in South Africa by no means, but many of the former police and so that used to, people from both sides that used to kill each other are now working side by side. And like for this place, for instance, there was a small little farm called Daisy Farm that was used by one of the death squads in South Africa. That was also where the hit on the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme was planned to a great extent. That is now turned into like a peace center and a reconciliation center, you know, where people can go and meet and blossom. And that is the way forward, I would say.
But I mean, that's beautiful, Ali. I mean, and people in the server room, people in the chat room are sort of applauding you there, and I think you're fantastic for making those points. Okay, I mean, I'm with you all the way on that, but the system in place for me is fine. It's the people that are running it or trying to run it or so-called running it. In your research, from your research and all the years that you've been putting in and all the work that you've done, are we seeing just a pattern of psychopaths that are running things, running the planet, or are these people that have got into these positions with a good heart and just succumbed to the amount of corruption because they've been sucked in some way? Or is it a bit of both, Ollie? What do you think?
I would say a bit of both.
Okay.
For sure. There's a lot of people with good intentions, good hearts, that have just been caught up in this. And also, I think this is where, I mean, there's a lot of Freemasonry, these secret brotherhoods and hidden things going on underneath what you can see. And many of these people are being sucked in. They go through different rituals, being totally naive, not understanding that what they're getting themselves into. And then this is these rituals and things that they've been part of is then used as pressure. You know, just like J. Edgar Hoover from the FBI, I mean, 50% of the work he did was to collect evidence against his enemies so that he could just grab them by the balls and totally control them. These people, have many of them, I feel very sorry for many of them because they have absolutely no idea what they're part in, and suddenly they're in a situation where they can't get out.
So, right, okay. Right, that's what I'm looking for. They're in a situation that they can't get out, and so, or do you just think that some people get in this and they go, do you know what, the population, the mass majority of people are just bloody stupid. We can throw as much crap at these idiots and tax them for everything that they've got and poison them with every aspect of their life, that, you know, air, sea, water, food, and they keep taking it. So, do you know what, I'm going to make as much money as I can because there's no point, I can't help these people.
I mean, if you look at it, look yourself in the mirror, I'm looking myself in the mirror, we're like 7 billion people, and they're like a couple of thousand, and we have let them get away with controlling us for so many years.
Yeah.
So if you ask yourself, how thick are you, how thick am I? I mean, it's incredible when you look at it, mind-blowing. And then the sick or the total mad thing is in it all is that we're controlling each other. We are doing it on their behalf. And people in uniform are helping them. And we are helping them by controlling our neighbors, you know, not to step out of the line. Don't be different. Don't say crazy things. Don't behave like you were free. You know, it's like we're doing it to ourselves. And it's time to stop this madness. It's totally mad what has been going on. But it's been necessary for us to have a counterpoint. You know, like if you, in this universe, you need left to be able to see what right is. You need up to understand what down is. You need joy to be able to understand sorrow. And you need evil to be able to understand good. And this group has been super evil. When you look at the core of them, my God, it can't get any worse. But without that power, we would not be able to wake up the way we are doing now. You know, if everything was just good, 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 we would be bored to tears. People are into drama, and the reason why we're here on Earth is to evolve, you know. So we have needed this, and the reason why it's gone so extreme is just like you say, because we have been so asleep, so thick, and it's now time to wake up.
So do you think then, the question that, you know, I had, and it's a couple of things off that, do you think that this is all a purposely formed situation in order to bring us to an awakening, or is it just the natural cycle of events, this corruption's gone mad, the psychopaths running the place, and because it's so bad that as in our very DNA, a human can only take so much before they start looking at things differently?
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, I'm not the one running the show. I'm just trying to figure out my little part in the whole thing. And I have absolutely no idea. I just feel that the native Indians, they say that we, the souls that are here at this time, we are the strongest of the strong. Mm-hmm. We are the strongest of the strong, and our ancestors has picked our souls to come down to Earth at this point to face these challenges. So this is not a time to sit and pick your nose, change the channel and watch another football game. This is a time to stand up in courage and face it, you know, face our fears and stand up and say in peace, we will not take this anymore. It is enough. We have had enough. And now is the time to move forward in peace, in brotherhood, arm in arm, brothers, sisters. Stand up and just do it in peace. You know, do not hit, but do not bend either. You know, do not hit back, because if we go the violent way, if we hit back, they are in total power. We're playing their games, and they will use it right back at us, and they will win, because with the technology, everything they have nowadays, we're screwed. That is not the way to go. The way to go forward is compassion. And I would say, if I can suggest my humble version of how to deal with these things, is that they control us with energy. They're trying to push us down into fear, with fear and terror and all of these things. There's a reason for that, and that is to push down the energy level of ours, to get us down, 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 because that is where they can control us. Once we're down there, once we're in depression and fear mode, all of that, that is where they can control us. If we start raising our energy, I'm not talking about new age, I'm talking about scientific fact. If you raise the energy, spiritual and with fill your heart with gratitude, fill your heart with compassion, fill your heart, you start lifting, you start becoming stronger. And one of the best ways to get out of this, I'm so sorry about myself, my life sucks, everything is awful, we have no chance, that is a downward spiral. The way to get out is to reach out a hand and help someone else. When you help someone else, all acts of kindness are incredible, because they raise your energy, you feel better, the one you help feel better, and some even people that see you do that feel better. And I tell you, when you start focusing on gratitude and consciously raise the energy, you will start seeing that the whole situation around you will start changing. That it won't be as dark as possible as before. It won't be as fearful as before. And you will be able to then start making a difference, to build up. This is what when you're in these groups of conspiracies and so on, it's so dark. You know, people can't take it if you bombard them with all these horrible stories about the darkness and all these conspiracy. People can, it blows their brain out. They don't want to hear it. Everybody has to wake up in their own time. And it's painful awakening for many of them. It's a painful thing to see, my God, I've been asleep for so many years. So the way to do, you can only focus on yourself. And instead of pushing these, all this tons of information of awful things, focus on yourself, lift it, become, live as an example, be the one that shows the way that we can stand up in power and compassion and make a difference and change this world into this beautiful place it's designed to be. If the thing is, there's this tiny little group, like a bully in a schoolyard, that has been terrorizing the neighborhood. And it's up for us to say, listen, we outnumber you with billions, so I would better relax if I were you, you know, back off. And I would, if I can talk directly to the elite, I would say, I totally understand if you are shitting in your pants. I can totally understand if you have problems sleeping at night. I would if I had done what you have. But I would say, and I can also understand if you are afraid of the rest of us, that you think that we will lynch you and chop you into pieces and serve you as pizza bolognese or whatever, if we find out what you've been up to. But I would suggest the sooner you stand up in courage, because you have been cowards for decades, stand up in courage, change sides, tell the truth, tell what you know, expose what you have been part of, be prepared to take your punishment if there's this involved, but do it fearlessly. Share what you know, show the corruption, show your part in it all, and we will embrace you. The sooner you leave and change sides, the warmer the embrace will be. The longer you wait, the colder the embrace will be. So I recommend, I say, I welcome you. Be brave. Be brave. Stand up. Get off your butt. Be a man and a woman. Take a step forward and make a difference. You are going down. And there's no reason for this to become ugly. Let's make it as beautiful as possible. It is painful. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. The game is over. You have to understand the game is over. You've already lost. So the sooner you wake up and do the right thing, ask your soul knows what is right. Listen to that voice. It knows it, even though it's scary. Listen to the voice. Be brave. Take a step. And let's heal this planet.
Ollie, I mean, that's the way you put things really is, it's that this is what, as a station, we're saying again and again, but the way you put things is just fantastic. Ollie, we've got about another 10 minutes with yourself. I want you to mention, please, your book, your site, tell me about everything, where you're up to with that, and how we can help you to do more, etc., please.
Paul, the way you can help me is financially.
Yeah.
I spent 3 decades, I'm still on my knees financially. If you want to support, please, please, please. I'm willing to stand here in the line of fire, risk my butt, but I need help. So if you could please help me financially, I am so, so grateful. My website is lightonconspiracies.com. It's a very... The name is not just randomly picked. It's lightonconspiracies.com. And I've got several books there. One of them is called Coup d'etat in slow motion. It's about the killing of the Swedish Prime Minister, but also with all the international networks connecting many of these different assassination and terror acts and so on. I've got another one called Remind Me, which is about, it's built on the ancient yoga principles about how to free your mind, how to remind yourself into the right way of handling difficult situations, which I would say it's a very small little power book, but it's made a big difference for a lot of people. And I got a third book called Shadow of Tears, which is a book about how I, 1984, took a bicycle on my own. I went from Sweden, I was on my way to South Africa. But instead, I ended up in the middle of the war in Iran. I don't know how you do that, but some people should say I should have looked for a psychiatrist instead. But anyway, I ended up there, and instead of meeting a lot of crazy people screaming a lot, shooting each other, I met the most beautiful, beautiful people, but in an extremely difficult situation. And one of them was murdered. And I then, when that happened, I decided I would do everything I could to help the rest of them. So I smuggled one guy out through former Russia, East Germany, up to Sweden, where he's now a heart doctor. And we got all the seven other people out as well. So this is a true story, exactly what happened. This is called Shadow of Tears. And like I say, Shadow of Light on Conspiracies, donations, or if you want to sign up for my newsletter or membership or something like that, all that, it's so, so appreciated. And I just want to say also that I got a yoga teacher, beautiful woman, by the name of Nelini Chelaram. And she's a yoga teacher, Radya yoga teacher. That's the science of the mind. It has nothing to do with weird postures or anything. It's about how to control and quiet your mind and move forward in a peaceful way and so on. And she always or often ends her talks with a little prayer that I would like to end this with.
Okay.
It goes like this. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. Victory to that light.
Excellent. Beautiful.
Because without these people, it's like what Jesus, I see him as one of the big hackers in the universe, in Matrix. He was one of the guys who knew, who understood the code and how to crack it. He said, love is the way. Love is the answer. Whatever the problem is, love is the answer. And if you look in a laboratory, love is an extremely, if not the highest frequency of all. And fear, it's the lowest. That's why they say the universe is built. There's only two choices, love or fear. And the if you let two frequencies, one very high, one very low, meet in the middle, what happens is it's not like the two frequencies start fighting each other and then meet in the middle. No, when the lower frequency meet the higher frequency, it just annulled. It gets annulled. Boom. And it goes into the higher frequency. It's just like you go into a dark room and you put on the light. Boom. It's not the light is not fighting the shadows. It just disappears. And this is the same thing with all problems. Love is the answer. Once again, this is not New Age. It's a matter of frequencies. So feel it in your heart. Raise the energy, you know. Don't go into hate. Don't go into all of these negative feelings. You know in your heart what is the right thing to do. No one has said this is easy. This is not we're not here as mere amateurs. We're here to evolve, and this is the time to do it. It's a super time to be alive, guys, and this is the time to do it. Like I say, not a time to sit and pick your button, belly button. This is the time to stand up, and I salute all of you, and I just want to say, if you can say things like that, don't judge the sinner, judge the sin. That's the thing. Don't hate these people. They're also victims, and they're the perfect teachers for us, showing the absolute way not to do it. They're showing you what we need is to find the right way of doing it. So let's move forward, arm in arm, and hug each other, hug a neighbor, hug a tree, hug a policeman. You know, don't go out and fight them. That's their game. They fight you. You hug them. They come with a rifle, you put a rose down the barrel. If they point a gun to your head, you're okay until the microsecond he pulls the trigger. Until then, you're fine. It's a state of mind, and just keep the focus. That's all I can say.
I'm blown away, Ollie. You really are. I'm struggling to come back. You know what? You've been fantastic. You were fantastic last time, but you're even better. I don't know how you've managed to do that. You've even better this time. Ollie, it's been a pleasure, and as I knew it would, to listen to everything. And again, it's so many people come out with information and research, but there's always a miserable message. It's always fear-based, and you just think, do you know what, seriously, what am I doing? It's just no point. But with Speak to You, it's this is the, you've got the beautiful balance of education, telling us to look this up, but at the same time, coming off with a positive way to go forward, which is just fantastical. So I want to thank you for all the work that you've done and you do and you continue to do. Again, guys, lightandconspiracy.com. I just want to say thank you again, mate, and we'll definitely get you on soon. And we'll do everything and help you get promoted the site and everything that you're doing, mate. Thank you.
It's my absolute pleasure, Paul. Absolute pleasure. Whatever it takes, I'm there. Whoever wants me on or whatever, I'm there.
That's it. Brilliant. I'm sure you will be. If you can end the call on your side, my friend, and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Cheers, Ollie.
Cheers. Take care.
Man. Right, guys, we're going to play a song. We'll just play a song and let me catch my breath, because that was just, that's everything I wanted to hear today. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay. This song that I'm going to play next, I heard it again in a chip shop. I wasn't buying bad food at all. Honestly, somebody gave me cheese and onion pie and chips and peas and a sausage and a scallop and wrapped it up for me and just gave it and told me to go home with it, honestly. But I heard this song and I thought, wow, beautiful, an amazing song. The words now mean more. This is Alanis Morissette, and thank you. Thank you.
You're listening to Critical Mass Radio. Now, it's our turn.
Just a massive round of applause to Ollie Damgaard. I thought he was fantastic and a great message, and I know a lot of people are enthused by that, and we should be as well. To put forward, I find it very, I think most people do, to forgive people for all the wrongs that they've done, to let these people just simply go off into the sunset for everything that they've done. Because I'm open on this show, you know, a lot of people say on their shows, look, we have to be this way and we do that way. And when you actually speak to them, they don't feel that way at all. They don't, and they're doing the completely opposite. It's something that we have to learn. I know what I do. To forgive these people, I think it's very hard, but it is the key, a major key to evolvement. I do truly believe that, and it's something that myself has to master, and I know a lot of other people, because the ills that they've caused are to such a degree, it's so hard to just go, oh, well, you know, you've helped us out. But when I listen to Ollie, people like Ollie and Rob, and they just make everything, they put it into words that, it's not just telling you to do something, it's an explanation as to why, if you're thinking a certain way, if you're acting a certain way, how the repercussions and how everything will sort of fall into place after that. Neil, I want to say thank you to Neil for all the support in the chat box. Neil, always there listening to the shows. Thank you, mate. It means a lot, honestly, and it's and all the support to the station. And another chap that I've not, and I should mention more, is... probably the only person who's better looking than me involved with Critical Mass Radio, and that's a chap called Style, Ninjas fella. And Style, he's just like God. You just got to see him. He's just it's hard even to see his picture, because he just you end up looking in the mirror and trying to pump yourself up. But Style has supported the station for a good from its beginnings, really. And I mean the station in its entirety. So, mate, you're a top bloke, and I just want to say on air, thanks to yourself and for everything that you do, and yourself, Ninja, you know that. Thank you very much for all that you're doing. Going on to that, there's a new show that I think is on Saturday. Well, it is on Saturdays. I don't know, basically, if it's going to be doing every Saturday. But a chap called Christopher, he started a new show on Saturday, and he will be doing more of the same. So looking forward to that also. The Rain Moss starts... her show on Friday after Sarah's show. Excuse me, after Sarah's show. So Lorraine will be doing 6 till 8 starting this Friday, and I know many, many people are looking forward to that just for the sheer volume of information. She's fantastic. She really is a lovely lady as well behind it all, and all for the love of her daughter, and she's gone on this mission, this avenue in life, and it's taken her to basically helping, and I mean thousands, if not tens of thousands of others. Thanks for that, Ninja, in the chat box. Saturday, 5 p.m. each week. Thank you. Yeah, brilliant. Thanks for that. Another great show that we've had. It's things like, what else have we got here? So that's Lorraine. Big one. Now, The People's Mandate by Rob Freeman. So many people are sort of taking to this, and so many people, and what I like about this at the moment is so many people asking questions now, and so many people aren't even looking at it properly and coming out with stuff. The People's Mandate is something that people need to read and take in once you get the simplicity of what Rob's doing and what we're trying to look at through the peoplesmandate.co.uk. If you go to the site, and you will see the benefit, because Rob's from the heart, he comes from the heart, everybody knows Rob, he's a good man, and he's trying to get to make a big impact. It's just fascinating, and we need to support all these aspects. So guys, the peoplesmandate.co.uk, Rob Freeman, the man himself, all the videos, his video will be up in, hoping, the next week. Well done to Sarah. Videos up now to see from the conference, and Tutor's Dave, of course, we know that as well. With regards to conference, I'm almost not wanting to say the date here, because I'm just waiting for Sarah tonight for the confirmation of this, but I'm just going to try one more time while I'm live. Can you confirm? But we've got I've got a gathering we are organising a gathering, a Critical Mass Radio gathering, and it's going to be in August, hopefully. And what we're trying to do there is, rather than just 50, 60 people, we want 400 or 500 people at basically this farmland. And there's going to be many speakers over the course of the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And Sarah's just typing me now because she's a busy lady and I keep minding her, but that's the way I do. I like to push people so I can get an answer. So just wait for that to come through. But okay. So the venue is, that's the date. So let's the last weekend in August is the gathering, and we're finalising the venue is what I've just been told, because there is a lot of work. We're shelling out on this one, guys. We're shelling out Critical Mass Radio. Now the idea is, what we're going to be doing is a whole weekend, full of people, full of speakers, full of stalls. Everyone's welcome. Full of tents. You can tent up in the field. And we're going to bring as many people together as a social event, as well as looking at speakers. Because what we're finding at these conferences are people are rushing in the morning and rushing off. They haven't got time to mingle as much as they want to. And there's so much that's getting missed, and people want that social event. So what we're trying to do is bring people together as well and have a good laugh for a weekend and just get to know each other, you know. Purposely, that's what it's for, as well as having some great speakers along the way. Six speakers have got, even Grov from the Homeless band is going to be doing some acoustic sessions, so we've got a bit of music. It's all in place. We're just finalising things, so we can say enough for now, but we will be looking at doing that for a weekend. It's going to be £50. We've budgeted it. We've looked at what we're doing because of the outlay. It will be £50 for the basically 2.5 days, and that includes everything. There will be stores for you to get food and stuff like that, but we're going to do as best as we can on a very tight budget. If you'd like to help the station, I do urge you to do so, because what comes in goes straight back out into what we're doing, and it keeps me eating crispy duck, pork in Szechuan pepper. No, Imogen, I'm only joking, love. I'm only joking. No, not allowed anymore. I've been on a vegan binge this weekend, and I've learned quite a lot. Actually, vegan food is very, very good. I must admit, I'm quite turned, actually. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But, guys, if you'd like to help the station, because, like I said, what comes in, it goes back out. I'd love to be able to go to Ollie, there you go, mate, from Critical Mass Radio, X amount. Or if one of the listeners comes in and says, guys, I need some help just for this, because that's going to happen to me. Can you help? As a station, we're all at it and we're all helping each other, because that's how we're going to do it. So come to the station, www.criticalmassradio.co.uk. There are two ways of doing that. Subscribe. And again, I just want to say thank you to Ninja on this one, because Ninja, you've been great. By basically every time I go on Facebook, there's lots of messages to do so. Subscribe, please. £1, £2, or £3 a month. That's all we're asking. The amount of listeners we've got now, if you all do that, we'd be a lot further on. And a lot of you guys are. So I want to say thank you to all of you guys who do subscribe, and in the chat box this evening as well. Thank you, because it means a lot. And it's a really nice thing when I see a little email and it flashes up. And honestly, I'm so thankful when somebody pledges £1 a month. It's fantastic, because the more the merrier, and that's what we're doing. Thank you to Jason, who mentioned in one of the videos as well, for helping the station, for keeping us going and moving us forward, for us to be able to do this conference, this gathering. This is all Jason, and this is, again, he said, think big, and that's what we're doing. We're making everything. Kate of Gaia, of course, on the sister platform, 5-6 nights a week, done massively well for the station, always there on different shows, bigging us up because she loves the station. Thank you, and for the great shows, of course, you know, a big pull. We've got some really big pulls. Every host is a big pull on the station in their own fields, and that's what we want, a bit of something for everyone. So well done to everyone involved, and there's so many people now, it is getting hard for me just to thank you all, but I really do appreciate everything that you do, because people get the idea of the station. So many sort of groups out there that are in it for just one thing or one aim, but this station's in for the big picture, and it's in for the long haul as well. Rob Freeman, to yourself, mate, you're probably the most quoted man for myself, honestly, and Mark, people, I'm seeing that all the time. People using some of your lines, it's fantastic. So everyone, well done. Give yourself a pat on the back. We're doing everything right. We're going at a really good speed now. We are 2 years old on May the 28th, and that is some going to do what we've done in such a short space of time. It's impressive, I think. Really is. Right, got to bang another song on. Back in five.
Just been sold. Every night we're gone, and the karaoke songs, how we like to sing along, though the words are wrong. It really, really, really could happen.
CriticalMassRadio.co.uk on the Critical Mass Show, myself, Paul Giovanni. Life at the moment is full of synchronicity. It seems to be every conversation, every song that's played is in sync with myself and people around, it's unbelievable. It's since standing in my truth, as somebody called Kate said, and Rob saying, if you're true to yourself, everything around you will fall into place, you know. It's all making sense. You know, we talk about the secret and the law of attraction. That's the bit they've left out for me. That really, it's so simple. We tolerate, don't we, as people, well, many of us do, tolerate people in our life just for the sake of being polite, and it's the way that you do, especially the English people, you know, that's what you do. And it's, I'm going to say it now, it's bollocks, really. Why do we tolerate people that make us, that bring down our energy? We don't have to hate them, you know. As English people, how often do we do it? We'll sit there speaking to someone and, yeah, I love it, yeah, oh, and it's been, oh, it's, well, it's fantastic, you're looking so well, and, oh, and how's little Jim? Oh, beautiful, yeah, and is he doing fantastic? Well, it's been lovely to speak to you. As soon as you turn around, you go, oh, fucking bitch, he's a right arse, oh, fucking, oh, I was hoping he wouldn't see me, but he's just bloody cut, oh, do you know, I bumped into such a person the other day, and you bump into him again 2 weeks later, oh, how you doing, how's it going? I've got to see you twice in a month now. No, you know what, seriously, why do we do it? We all do it because we're too polite and we don't like to offend. But we're not, I mean, who are we offending? We're offending ourselves, ultimately. This is what I'm finding, and we're bringing our energy down. And while we're doing that, we're not good to many other people, are we? We start getting ill, we get fed up, we get depressed. So why do we do it to ourselves? And it's just a massive realisation. And honestly, where I seem to be walking around now, and the right people are there. It's like, I've not seen the film The Truman Show that Imogen told me about, but apparently it's, the setup's like that. Everything around me just is in place. It's a beautiful thing. And sometimes I think it's a pinch, but is it just because life begins at 40? Is it that type of thing? But I'm finding more and more people are saying the same. You don't have to be nasty to someone. Just look, you know, seriously, we don't get on, we never have, you know, why do we keep doing this with each other? Just have a great life, I'm going a different way, and just take care, and if they want to call you something, then let do it, but they're out of your life. Get the negativity in all aspects out of your life, be it people, surroundings, food, everything, get it out, and you can do it, it's just taking the step. And that's where the problem is, and that's why people stay in the matrix, because the leap of faith into the unknown, there is a bigger fear for people to go, to take the step to do the right thing, because they don't know where it's going to lead and they're not sure. So they'd rather stay in this perpetual motion of just being in the exact same place at the exact same time forever and not learning and not expanding, just for the sake of trying not to upset people and to stay in the familiar. But familiarity breeds contempt. Start of a Culture Club song. Yeah, and that's where it happens. Do you know, sometimes I impress myself with how profound I can actually be. If I had a mirror here now, I'd probably be stroking my reflection. Seriously. Hope you're enjoying the show, guys. We've only got a few minutes left. It's been a pleasure, as always, to have your company here. For everybody listening throughout the world, through podcasts, through Serve Room, through Facebook, through Skype, through every means possible, I really appreciate your company and the support you give to the station. It's a wonderful thing. We're together, we're building something that I said last week, and I'm going to keep saying this. People don't mention it enough, but Ollie did touch on it, is the momentum that we have started now, not just the station, but as awake, proactive people, the momentum is such that it is unstoppable, you know. It can't be stopped in any quarters, and it's a positive in many respects, and that is growing and growing, the ball's getting bigger, it's speeding up, and it is just a question of time. We are getting there. You know, it's hard to see the cracks in the matrix when it's not reported daily, but you are seeing it, because the cracks that I'm seeing, how can I put this? It's not so much cracks. It's the increase in proactiveness and positivity and the right way of thinking, as Ollie put. That's what I'm seeing more and more. More and more people are getting the right way to move forward. And that's, and at the same time, a lot of negative people are changing the whole aspects in life. Yeah? Does that make sense? I hope I make it, it makes sense to myself, but yeah, to you guys also. Momentum, that's it. You can't stop it. And if it's the positive, it's going to catch on and catch on and catch on. So guys, I'm going to end it there, because otherwise it's just me waffling. I've mentioned all that needs to be mentioned. Tomorrow night, we've got Kate of Gay, of course, 6 to 8, followed by her Panmo show, 8 to 10 with Ben. On Wednesday, I think we've got Alex this Wednesday. Yep, we've got Alex this Wednesday, almost sure. We've got no Wakey Wakey show. Thursday, we've got Choo-Choo's Dave. Friday, we've got the Irate Women show with lovely Sarah, followed by Lorraine with Lorraine Moss show, 8 till 10. Saturday, we've got, I think we've got Christopher following on again from 5 o'clock. And also we've got a Mike and Mark show that's also on a Saturday night, I think Ninja would correct me there also. So guys, this new show is coming all the time, as expected. We did start, when we first started the station, we wanted as many shows as possible. That's why, let's get as many shows live. But it's the content now that we're after. The message, the content, that's where we're going. So I'm going to end it there. As always, we're going to end off with Bugsy, and I'll speak to you all next week. Love you all, guys. You've been fantastic. Thanks to Ollie again, and I'll see you all next week. Take care. Ciao.
Comes back to you. La, 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 la.
Critical Mass Show with the New Romantic, Dandy Highwayman, Anarchist, Paul Giovanni. Monday 7 till 9 on Critical Mass Radio. Now, it's our turn.
Critical Mass Radio. Yeah!